The morning light is already sharp at 7, and the tram is mercifully empty as it rattles toward Dolak. I've learned the routes now, the way the 6 and 13 snake through the lower town, how to stand clear of the doors when the conductor's in a hurry. Today is my last full day in Zagreb, and I woke up with a list. Buy a few things for the road, return a library book I'll never finish, and soak in the city's rhythm one more time before the coast. I step off at Jelacic Square, past the statue of Ban Josip Jelacic, his sword pointing south toward the Adriatic. The square's quieter than it was on Victory Day, just a few tourists with coffee, a couple of traders hauling crates toward Dolak. The market is already alive, red umbrellas snapping in the breeze, peaches stacked like small suns, the smell of fresh herbs and ripe tomatoes. I buy a kilo of cherry tomatoes for the train, a small round of cheese from a woman who nods when I say Dobardan. It costs about 3 euros, maybe 4, and I know I'm paying the local price now, not the tourist one. Dolak is my favorite kind of chaos. It's ordered, somehow, the way the market stalls line up in rows, the way the flower sellers cluster by the cathedral wall. The cathedral spire is still wrapped in scaffolding, a reminder of the 2020 earthquake that's still being repaired. I stand for a moment, watching a woman negotiate over a bunch of basil, her voice rising and falling like waves. This is where the city starts, I think, in these small transactions, these daily negotiations. From the market, I walk up the stone steps toward Greydeck, the old hilltop town. The funicular is running, one of the world's shortest, about a minute to the top, but I take the stairs, paying the price of a good view and sweat. At the top, the air cools slightly, and I follow the narrow streets past St. Mark's Church with its tiled roof, the red and white and blue squares of Croatia, Dalmatia, and Slavonia. I step into the courtyard of the Museum of Broken Relationships, just to look at the glass case near the entrance. 7 euros to go in. I've already been, on an earlier day, and I don't need to repeat it. Some stories are better left as souvenirs. I cross the stone gate, the shrine with its flickering candles, and pause at the Lautrescap Tower. The cannon goes off at noon. I've learned to flinch less each day. A small crowd gathers, phone cameras raised. I wait for the boom, and it comes, a deep crack that echoes off the old walls. One of the tourists jumps, and the locals smile, indulgent. It's a little ritual, and I'm glad I caught it before leaving. Back down in the lower town, I stop for a coffee at Kwawa on Martasiva. It's a small place, specialty roasts, and the barista recognizes me from Tuesday's visit. I order a cappuccino, about 2.5 euros, and sit by the window, watching the trams pass. The cafe is cool, almost cold, a welcome relief from the heat outside. I pull out my notebook and sketch a rough map of the coast. Istria, then the islands down to Vis. That's the plan. The slow descent, one leg at a time. The coffee's good, the kind that makes you want to stay, but I have errands. I need a few things for the road. A power bank, I left mine at the airport in a hurry, and the one I bought from a kiosk is unreliable, a small bottle of laundry soap, and a proper SIM card with roaming. I had a tourist SIM for the first week, 10 euros for 10 days, but I need something longer now. I walk to a HT store on Ilica, the main shopping street, and wait in a short line. The clerk is patient, explains that a regular SIM with a monthly plan, about 15 euros for 20 gigabytes, will do the job. I sign the contract, show my OB, and within 10 minutes, I have a Croatian number that'll roam to the islands. Another box ticked, another step toward being a resident. I walk back toward the park, the green horseshoe that curves through the lower town. Zrinjevac Park is busy with lunchtime office workers, a few kids chasing a dog around the fountain. The music pavilion stands empty, but I remember last Saturday's Plesenjak, the open-air dance with a live band. Everyone from grandmothers to teenagers doing the waltz and the polka. That was the night I felt the city's heart, the way it opens up in summer, the way the heat brings people out. Lunch is at Gostionica Fiklek, a small canoba on the edge of the upper town, tucked just off the main path. It's the kind of place that's been there forever, dark wood, white tablecloths, a menu that changes with the market. I order Struckli, the baked cheese and sour cream parcels I've already developed a fondness for, and a green salad. The lunch set is about 11 euros, a geblek, the local word for a midday meal that means business. The Struckli are perfect, crisp on top, soft inside. I eat slowly, savoring, knowing this is the last one for a while. The coast will have its own food, seafood, risotto, anchovies, but this is Zagreb's comfort, and I'm not in a hurry to say goodbye. After lunch, I take the tram to Maksimir Park, the city's green heart, one of the oldest public parks in Europe. The tram ride is short, about 20 minutes, and I pass the still-closed roadworks on Zvonimirova. The diggers silent for the holiday week. The park is cool, wooded, full of families on blankets, couples rowing on the lake. I walk to a bench near the zoo entrance and just sit. The cicadas are loud, a wall of sound that somehow becomes silence. I think about the last week, the paperwork, the bank account, the sim, the day trips, the nights in Zrinjevac. It's been a week of learning, and now I'm ready for the next leg. I check the time, 3 p.m. The sun is still high, but the heat is softening. I decide to walk back toward the center through Kaptol, past the cathedral scaffolding, and I stop at a small shop to buy a jar of local honey. The woman at the counter tells me it's from Medvednica, the mountain above the city. I imagine the bees on the forest slopes, the chestnut trees, the quiet. It'll be a taste of Zagreb when I'm down in Dalmacija, surrounded by olives and salt. Back at my rented flat, a modest one-bedroom near the train station that costs about 750 euros a month, I start a pack. I sort through the things I've accumulated. The market basket, the honey, the library book, I'll return it online. A jar of Ivar I bought on a whim. The room has that late afternoon light, golden and dusty. I open the window and listen to the tram's clatter by below. It's a sound I've come to know, the pulse of the city, and I let it wash over me. I want one more evening walk. I head toward the botanical garden, a green haven in the lower town, but it's closed for a summer event. Instead, I wander down Talsasiva Street, the pedestrian lane that's always busy, and find a table at a small craft brewery. I order a local pale ale, about 3.5 euros, and watch the crowd flow. There's a group of students arguing over a card game, a couple sharing a plate of French fries, a man with a guitar trying to tune out the noise. This is the Talsasiva of August, unhurried, a little sweat in the air. I think about the coast. Tomorrow, I'll take the train from Zagreb's main station, the same one I arrived at a week ago, and head toward Istria. I'm told the coastal towns are packed in August, but I'm not going for the beaches. I'm going for the rhythm of the islands, the pace of life that slows down when the asphalt ends. The plan is loose. Stop in Ravinj for a few days, then work down the coast, maybe split a week between Var and Korkula, and end on Vis, the quiet outer island where the ferries are fewer and the nights are dark. I pay my bill and step out into the evening. The air is warm, still, the sky a deep blue. I walk back through the upper town, the gas lamps flickering on, and I make a small detour to the stone gate, just to see the candles again. The street is quiet here, the sound of my footsteps on cobblestones echoing off the old walls. I pass the spot where, a few days ago, I saw a wedding party spilling out of a church on Kaptol, the bride laughing, the guests in pastel suits. I liked that image and I've held on to it. I end up back on Zrinjevac Park as the lights come on. The music pavilion is empty, but I know that tomorrow, Friday, it'll be full again for another Plesenjak. A group of kids is kicking a ball, and an older couple walks their terrier along the path. I sit on a bench and check my phone. A message from the landlord confirming my deposit, a news alert about a heat wave in the south. I think about the cost of this week. About 40 euros for the tram passes, around 200 for meals out and coffee, and the flat, which is the real investment. It's not cheap, but it's not crazy either, and I know I'll find my way. I don't want to say goodbye to Zagreb properly. Instead, I say Dobar Dan to the city in my head, a thank you for the patience, the lessons, the quiet mornings and loud evenings. I walk home under the streetlights, past the bakeries that closed hours ago, and I stop at a corner market to buy a cold bottle of water. The shopkeeper, a woman in her 60s, asks if I'm leaving. I nod. She smiles and says, "Sretno, good luck," and I hear the coast in her voice, or maybe I just imagine it. Back in the flat, I stand by the window one last time. The tram lines below are almost empty, a car passing every few minutes. The city hums, low and steady. I pack my bag for the morning, lay out my clothes, and set the alarm. Tomorrow, the train to the coast. Tonight, just this, the cool sheets, the open windows, the sound of Zagreb breathing. I turn off the light and let the city hold me. And that's the week. From landing at the airport with no OIV and no bank account, to standing here with a Croatian phone number and a jar of mountain honey, Zagreb isn't a place to hurry through. It's a place to learn how to wait, how to drink coffee slowly, how to let a city become routine. I carry that with me as I head south. The Adriatic is waiting, but I'm no longer in a rush to meet it. There's a time for everything. And for now, it's time to sleep.